We started.
Are we rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling.
Oh, is it?
We're rolling.
Episode,
you do what?
You do it.
All right, cool.
It's 12.
Welcome, my people them, to episode 12 of the Jimson and Roscoe podcast. I am Jimson. No.
I'm Jimson.
He's Jimson. I'm Roscoe. And we've swapped around. So my cousin Craig, aka Nerdo, pointed out that we're sitting the wrong way around for the Jimson and Roscoe show. I've been sat on that fucking side.
Yeah, so Roscoe was on your left as you're looking at it, and I was on the right. So now I'm on the left and he's on the right.
For Spotify people that can't see us.
Don't worry.
Don't worry about
Forget it. Anyway, this is the Jimson and Roscoe show. This is episode 12. Don't forget to like and subscribe. It's one of the things we keep forgetting to say at the beginning.
Do that.
And so 70% of anyone who views any of my shit on YouTube does not subscribe to the channel.
That's a lot of people, man.
Yeah. 70% of the viewers who watch anything on the YouTube channel.
And all it is, right, is a click.
And don't forget to smash that bell button.
Oh, man. For notifications every time you drop a video. But the thing is, in all honesty, so... Mm-hmm. So, any video that I watch on YouTube, if I actually like, if I like it, I like it,
yeah.
And I subscribe all the time. Stop being lazy, people. It's a click of a button.
Do you know the thing is though? The thing with YouTube, the only reason we need the subscribers is so we can grow this, so we can become a YouTube partner. But in theory, YouTube, the algorithm works on YouTube.
Mm.
The reason a lot of people don't subscribe is because YouTube just shows you. Based on what you're watching, they right. know what to fucking put in
yeah,
front of you.
Yeah.
So you might subscribe to something and then not be into that anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
For a phase of like, you know, you yeah. running.
Plants.
Yeah.
I never get out of that phase. I love plants. Anyway, today we are joined by the guy behind the lens, Costa.
Hey. And I'm not black.
No, he's not black. For anyone that thought he was black, like Shitter, Brendan, thought he was black. He's Russian and he's ginger.
Were you born in Russia, Costa?
No, I was born in Germany.
So he's German. Okay. I keep saying this to him.
We've got a long history of this, you know?
Yeah.
Me being German.
He's German. He is German.
I ain't got the passport.
What do you call a German who can't see? A Nazi.
This is a good one, man. This is a good one. So yeah, Costa.
Hello.
How you doing, mate?
Yeah,
it was
bad.
Your birthday the other day, right?
American Independence Day, which is quite funny for a Russian as well.
How was it? Where did you go? Did
Wales, you Snowdonia.
Yeah, nice.
It was beautiful. Honestly, we went... I'm not going to try and pronounce the name of the place.
Go on. Do it.
It's a different alphabet.
Yeah. There you go. That's Russian.
Sorry, I get confused. Yeah, it was beautiful. We were in a little like shepherd's hut, and I stayed with my girlfriend who has the same birthday as me as well, which is pretty rare. Actually.
What?
Yeah, she's not doing that same
That's
birthday.
Mad.
I won't ever forget her birthday, which is good, basically.
Yeah, unless you forget yours.
Yeah. I hope not. That'd be a bit sad.
I forgot how old I am at times.
I was
born in 86 and you start counting on your hand. It's like, right, it's
99. I just made it to the 90s.
99?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
It's pretty mad.
Do you know, it's mental. It's like when you just look at it, like, before having kids, I don't know how I measured time.
Well, we didn't really, did we?
No.
Cause
but I look now and it's like, fucking whatever. Hell, carve out six.
Yeah, yeah,
so where
yeah.
the fuck did that go?
Yeah.
Mental.
Yeah, it's a mad thing.
So you have to grab life by the balls and fucking...
Touch them.
Whatever floats your boat, mate.
Let's not get out of
it. Too early for that, later on.
Yeah. Three good things that happened today, Costa.
Well, I saw you two. Saw Ross happy, which was nice.
Yeah!
No recurrence, but it does happen.
Man's happy, bro. Man's fit and healthy.
What else good happened? I got loads of photos of my nephew, because he turned one yesterday.
Okay. Was that your brother's son?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cute, man.
He hates me.
He hates you?
Yeah, honestly, he's petrified of me for no reason.
It's probably your hair.
What is it, a bit spicy?
Yeah, it's a bit orange.
You said it was your brother's?
Hmm?
Sister?
My brother's kid. Yeah.
Your brother's kid. Was your brother got ginger hair?
No, black. Okay. From, like, I'm the only, my granddad's ginger. That's where we think it's come from.
I used to be petrified of blokes with beards when I was a kid.
Is it? And now you've got one.
It's like Batman. Yeah. It's like Batman, innit? Become what you fear.
Well, third point. I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to start working tomorrow, if I'm honest.
Yeah, good.
So I've just got a lot of stuff filming today.
What are you still working on that project in Bristol?
Yeah, with Bristol Vic and the Bristol Council. We're still doing that. It's going on for so long.
So speak about what you do, man.
I did video production. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of like started doing photography at GCSEs, went in on to A-level, started doing a bit of film there, and went to uni for a year. Dropped out because I didn't like it. I did creative business. Utrecht.
I know. I went there with you. But
been there.
Yeah, it's great.
It's basically mini Amsterdam, just outside of Amsterdam. It's proper nice. It's kind of like Bath. It's pretty similar. Like, I don't know. Like that kind of vibey. Like the size of it, maybe, actually.
I liked it. I liked going out. Yeah. I didn't like being asked for drugs every fucking 2 minutes.
Do you know about that?
Nah.
Oh, my God. Mate. That's a story to tell. Basically, we went to a club called Barsis, and do you know Dietrich Swindle?
No.
But they've renamed themselves Damn Swindle now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's more relevant, though.
Is it?
Well, they are from Netherlands.
Yeah, they are.
Not Detroit.
Yeah, but I think, was it Detroit they did it? Because obviously that's where that house is.
Yeah, kind of.
Techno, isn't it? House was Chicago, and then techno was Detroit, wasn't it?
Yeah, Detroit.
Yeah. But, I went to the toilet at one point. Because I just needed a piss. And
how'd you do?
Who's doing the bathroom set tonight? Anyone playing in here?
And then what? You can tell the rest.
Well, no, I'd say over. I'd literally, like, no exaggeration. It was literally like, hey, guy, have you got any pills for sale? Hey, dude, have you got any pills for sale? Maybe a 2 second break. Hey. You got any pills for sale?
Since I left your side, yeah. Do they think I was like buying off you and I was just taking too long?
I don't know. I don't know. But
this guy's taking too long in the queue.
We shouldn't carry on this conversation anyway.
Okay.
Why? Anyway.
Why?
Oh, God, I don't know. Let's speak about it after the pod.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, Utrecht was cool. So you left Utrecht.
I left that, came back to Bath, and then started my own business. Like, originally, I went to the Netherlands to just learn how to start my own business, and I kind of realised that.
Why there?
Cheap.
Really?
€300 a year compared to €9,000.
€300 a year?
Yeah.
Compared to €9,000 here.
How did that happen here? How did we get so fucking ripped
Margaret
off?
Margaret Thatcher?
Nah, well, it went up to was after grand, that, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
It was like,
wasn't Cameron...
I think she started.
Started, yeah, but wasn't it Cameron and fucking Clegg when they did their coalition that they
it went
shit
up to like
on
€9,000,
yeah.
It was €3,000 when my brother went to uni, and he's 10 years older than me.
Yeah, that's a mad thing, bruv.
That's like a third of the price.
That's what I'm about to start doing as well.
What, uni?
Mm.
Really?
Mm. What, here?
I'm doing open uni.
Oh, mad.
Yeah.
I always see letters for that. What actually, is it just like an online
It's just online thing, isn't it? So I'm going to do a full-time course in psychology and counselling.
Yeah.
Just become a therapist, isn't it?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. My brother's mate is I told you about him. He's an addiction therapist.
Okay.
He loves it.
I should chat to him because I want to get some information.
Get him on.
Yeah, that'd be good. You line that up?
I'd probably.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
He lives in Shepton Mallet.
Is it down the road? Shit, smell it.
Shit, smell it.
My mate lives just around the corner from there.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's not far.
Rachel!
Yeah.
Shout out, Rach.
Right.
Then what did you do?
Started my own business because, I dropped out because I said, screw it, this is taking too long. And I kind of didn't really enjoy it because, I don't know, I feel like you should go down your own path in life and make from your own mistakes. Like, you can't teach someone to not make the mistakes you did.
Yeah, you can't
really. It's like, you tell a kid to do their homework because, you regret not doing better in school, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to do it.
See, I'm the opposite. It's like, no, you're fucking your own now.
What, from four?
To be honest, like, you're fucking, basically, you're 6 years old, like, it's ridiculous. Why the fuck are you coming home with all this? It's like, do you know what I mean? It's, yeah.
But yeah, so I kind of did it myself, which caused a lot of stress, I'm not going to lie. It was stressful times.
But you are right. The best way of learning is hands-on. I think from theory point of view, you could fucking learn all the textbooks in the world. But like, when it comes to practice, it's like...
It's just motivation, really. That's what you're like. You're with university, you're trying to get told to do stuff, so you do it. Whereas, like, if you're doing it by yourself, you have to wake up and go, like, okay, I am doing this.
Well, it's like giving an instruction. It's like when you go to, like, one of them, like, shit martial arts, like, which you're all being exposed to shit martial arts now. Like, it's like, stand here and let me demonstrate this on you. But when you go out in the real world, it's like, yeah, it's fucking... Like... There you go, right? You got some like fucking
like, ready with the knife, right? 3, 2, 1
Oh, you went too fast.
Oh, you went too quick. You stabbed me.
Try again.
Yeah, funny man. So yeah, carry on.
It's been like a while. And then I started a company called Parallax Productions. I kind of did it by myself. I was doing like video production, photography, and all that. I worked for like Route One. A few other companies. I went to Romania to do videos.
You worked for me.
Yeah, worked for you.
Mostly corporate gigs then that you start.
It's a mix. Like I'm not gonna lie, I don't really like the problem about like music videos and stuff is that it's usually pretty low pay.
And
it's a lot of usually like the problem is what I've realized is like over the years. When I started off, like, you know, doing mates raids, you know, I was like, you always get those people going, oh, I'll do this for exposure, you know, I'll tag you in and all that crap. So I kind of started off doing that, but I was aware of the issue, so I tried not to fall into that trap.
Yeah.
And then, like, as time has progressed now, I kind of, like, if it's not paid enough, I don't take it on because I know it's more stress than it's worth. Because when people, like, want to save money that badly, they're the kind of clients that will be like, oh, yeah, can tweak that, I want to make it perfect.
I think as well, the people that do music videos have the love for doing music videos.
Yeah, Chris, you know I mean? Chris Wilkie from the Candy Farm.
He loves turning movies.
He loves music videos.
Yeah.
It's fucking like, that's he gets thing. Proper enjoyment out of doing it. I think as well, I think the trouble with music videos, like you say with the money thing, I think now you can get a really good artistic, great video with just your iPhone. And it's what, with music video, it's more the fucking, like, the vision and the art behind it. Do you mean you can, like, then you can put that grain over it and you just make it look shit. Yeah. You don't, and that's the trouble. And, like, now it's so cheap and exposable. Mm. It's like, so if someone comes up to you and you're like, say you were to give them an invoice and they're like, fuck it, I ain't fucking paying that. Fucking mate down the road, do it 100 quid.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you don't, people don't understand the work. Because obviously, the more professional you go, the more actual effort it takes. Like, with the phone, you film it and it's kind of done. You know, with a camera, you have to set up all manually. You have to do this, then you have to grade it, and you have to edit it, you have to sound balance it, you have to do everything.
I went and then I was an extra for on this film that Antonio was doing, like a jiu-jitsu movie, and it was done by the London Film School. So I went there and they had, what were they shooting on? Was it 38 or something, whatever it is? They were shooting on film.
35,
right. Yeah. So yeah, they were shooting on film and the camera was like...
They had like one of those fat...
The camera was like 60 grand. And it was like everything cost money because they only had so much. And it's like, but like, well, I showed them some of the music videos I've done with Chris. They're like, how long did that take? I was like, 3 hours. But like with this, it was like, shoot it that way, shoot it from the other angle, shoot it from the other angle.
Yeah.
Sign man comes in and just goes to everyone, kind of repeat everything that you've just said as well. And you're like, fucking, it's
not like the actual film it takes the most, it's the setup. All the audio checks. You have to put a camera there, make sure it's a good angle, put the lighting on them, you know, everything.
Yeah.
And then they had like the smoke machine as well to like not make the room so bright to dull the room. It was a good learning curve because like I'd never seen it done properly. And it was like, but if I was to describe what being an extra or an actor in a film's like, I would say it's just a fucking lot of waiting around.
Just waiting
again, like you say, you're waiting for the setup. And then you go onto that and it's like waiting around again for the next setup.
Like if you work in that kind of film industry, then a lot of it is just being bored. Or like not even being bored, but it's just waiting around, chatting nonsense with
people.
I remember Harrison Ford hearing him in an interview because he was a chippy.
Right.
And I don't know how he got, I can't remember how he said he got the role in Star Wars, but when he got this role as Han Solo, and then he'd done that, and then like fucking, he was like, what do you call this, working for a living? Fucking give me some of this.
That's true.
From an actor's point of view, it's like, do you mean
you're when was that first one?
I don't know. When
was
he Dane.
First thing that he did, or what?
Han Solo was the first thing he did.
Really?
Because.
And then he went on to do Indiana Jones and all that.
Yeah, because Luke Skywalker, everyone was like, he should be the one who like goes on from this to like be the big fucking like movie star.
Yeah.
And he didn't really do shit, did he?
Yeah.
Like Luke Skywalker, I don't know what I can tell you a load of films that fucking Harrison Ford's been in, but I can't.
I've never seen him in anything else.
Yeah, no, I haven't. Maybe that's because he was Luke Skywalker, and that's what people remember him by, I guess.
Yeah, you know, that's a big problem whenever like people play bad guys in movies, they can't land roles. Like,
that's why
Ian Bale.
And Phil Mitchell. That's why Thingy's really good. Daniel Day-Lewis. Daniel Day-Lewis?
No.
The guy from Gangs of New York?
No.
What else is he in? Mate, he's sick. British actor. Mm. You think he's British? He's sick. And he like, when he plays a role, like he's only done a few different roles because he's like a proper method actor.
Yeah.
Gets into it so much that like he can only do so many roles because he's like...
Heath Ledger was like that. Who else? Johnny Depp's like that.
And the black guy from The Bill that got fired for smoking crack.
Robert De Niro did that as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
He got on the crack before Taxi Driver, wasn't he? Become a crackhead.
And Johnny Depp got pissed every day and got sunstroke, didn't he, when he was doing Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah.
Sick, man.
Explains a lot.
I'll tell you what, actually, talking about film setups and stuff like that, so Grey Goose have just released like a new range of like infusions. So they're like, I don't know, like fucking strawberry and lime and whatever, yeah? But they did a thing with Scissor, right? And the setup is ridiculous, bruv. It's like in a garden. I can't even explain. You need to watch it. Like, but the visuals in it and the like live performance side of it, the aspects of, because if she had a live band, she had contemporary dancers that came in. Mate, it was mad, bruv. While singing at the same time. Yeah, watch it. It's really, really good. Everyone watch it. It's really good. Scissors just...
Was it an advert?
The queen. Kind of, but it was a live performance. Mm. Right. So it was. I can't remember what it's called. I think it was called Grey Goose in Bloom.
Oh, it was a live imagined, event. Kind
yeah,
of
imagined by Scissor.
Amazon did that, didn't they?
Mate, loads of...
Red Bull do a lot of it as well, don't they? And Red Bull got their own music studio now. Yeah. They've gone even gone to that. Yeah.
Red Bull's pretty crazy.
Hennessy have been doing it. Havana have been doing it. Like, all these
Pepsi
brands.
Pepsi Max. Yeah. Remember they did... I know Jeremy did a mixtape in a weekend, didn't he?
Yeah.
So they had Jeremy do that. Who else did one with them? They did a few. They went round and gave like everyone like a weekend to go and make a mixtape.
Did you see the P Money thing as well? Where they went to the
a new one.
They made music from plants. So they found that plants emit noises, and they sampled the noises from the plants, from all these different plants in this like fucking wherever they were, and then they made a tune out of the plant noises.
Yeah, it's just frequency
suitable for vegans.
Yeah, because he's just turned vegan, isn't it?
So now no animals were harmed in this production.
Yeah, man, it was sick. Really good.
I think I sent it to you actually. There was a mushroom one, the mushroom music.
Yeah.
You can hear like the fungi communicating.
It's fucking cool.
Fungi,
man,
are interesting, man.
Yeah,
like I've just finished reading that book, The Ending Hunger, the one that I've spoke about on a few of the podcasts. So I finished it now, and on that, like,
that's crazy.
He says he's a soil. It's like, if you think it's fucking scary, the alarming rate that they are knocking down the rainforest and the trees, he says, that ain't shit on the soil. Everyone's focused on that. He goes, you should be fucking worried about the soil. The soil is like...
No nutrients.
Yeah, and the soil is one of the biggest carbon suckers.
Right.
And he goes, they reckon they've got 30, if they carry on at this rate... You've got about 30 more harvests before complete soil annihilation across the whole planet.
What?
30 harvests.
Yeah.
How many harvests a year? One?
Yeah.
So well, 30 years. How old am I?
Have you watched Clarkson's Farm on Amazon?
No.
It's genuinely amazing.
Is it actually good?
It's sick. Better than Grand Tour. Better than all that.
Yeah.
It's amazing. All that Grand Tour's
bollocks,
like scripted,
anyway.
You know?
It's bollocks.
Like, this is just Jeremy Clarkson. I have no idea what he's doing on the farm. It's hilarious. Man buys a Lamborghini tractor.
I heard he bought a Lamborghini tractor. Yeah, I heard he's an idiot.
So what's he doing then?
Is he like, literally, he's owned the farm since like 2000.
Does he work the farm?
He's always had someone doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure a guy like passed away or like left or something. So he's like, screw it, I'll do it myself. And there was like a guy on it who's like never been 20 miles outside
the farm.
Is it the
one with no teeth? Is it that one? The one with no teeth?
No. There's one, the guy who makes the walls, and you just cannot understand it.
Someone sent it to me and said he sounded like Alpha Laffles.
It's hilarious, and even he said, isn't there a rumour that there's only like six cycles left? He said it was six.
Yeah, well, he sent 30 harvests, like it, but they were... there are things you can do and that can be done. And he was saying, like, the end of the book, like, he has, like, what can we do as the chapter? And then after that, it's like, what can I do? And the what can I do chapter is, like, about the person. He's basically like, this is where I'm supposed to give you a load of bollocks about what recipes you're supposed to eat and make you feel guilty for all the things that you've been enjoying. And he goes, but I'm not going to do that. And I don't think you should make anyone feel guilty for what they eat.
Yeah.
Like, things like meat and dairy is, like, ingrained in people's culture. You shouldn't be so, like, yes, we need to fucking eat less of it and the world needs to eat less of it.
Yeah.
But it's the same with the coal. So if the West had been burning coal for however long in the industrial period, and then, like, you kind of, like, pop kettle black when you're fucking telling places like India that you can't burn coal. So it's the same with the meat thing. The consumption of meat shows the wealth of a nation. So, like, the more meat that's being eaten is generally makes them more wealthy. So it's like, how do you do that? He also, like, debunks lab grown meat, saying how that is, like, a massively expensive fucking thing that probably won't take off. He was like, hummus is like the miracle food. Hummus is like fucking, like, almost chickpeas, isn't it? It's fucking delicious. You can just fucking have hummus with anything.
Yeah.
But he was saying with the soil, he said it should come from the top down. That we need systemic change. So it's basically like, rather than, like, penalizing farmers and fucking telling them that they're all cunts, he's like, you need to find a way of incentivizing them to do these things. And it's like, you can't expect a farmer off his own back to be like, I'm going to do this because it's nature, and then his yields go, and then his farm goes under because fucking matey next door is basically fucking churning out loads, and then he goes under. He goes, you need to make it so it's like the washaways of all the chemicals and shit. And GMOs. So I was always like, fuck GMOs, they're fucking, they're bad, like, doing. With never really understanding why that has been put out.
Yeah.
So the corn laws, right? The corn laws, back when the English fucked over the Irish and they had their famine in the 1800s, and when, like, this is when, like, Irish went to, like, New York and they, like, scattered around the world. So that famine came about because the English were like, fuck the Irish, they're fucking lazy. Like, do you mean, like, the people with the ruling class were like, fuck them. Like, and what it was at the time, potato is like the, like, a miracle kind of thing, but they're known to blight. And then blight would just fucking wipe out whole crops. So you get that on your farm, your whole, do you know what I mean? And that was what caused the famine. So, like, Southern Ireland, they had all their plots split up into tiny plots, so they couldn't grow wheat. They didn't have enough to grow wheat. So all they could do was grow potatoes, and it just fucking, they had a massive famine. And I can't remember the guy's name. So the guy who was in power in the UK at the time, he was like, fuck them. No, fuck them. Not forgiving them. And it basically just, like, it was like a massacre. And at the time, all the rich English aristocrats were the ones with the wheat farms. So they wouldn't import wheat from anywhere else in the world. They wouldn't import cheap wheat because it would hurt them. So it's like, it would hurt their fucking profits. So what happened then with the EU, the reason they're so anti-GMO is not because anything to do with health-wise or anything like that.
Right.
The reason they are anti-GMO is because they were getting cheap, like, beans and stuff in from America, which were cheap and disease resistant and all that shit, but because it was undercutting, it was all politics, never ever anything about health. And he said if you combine an organic farm, which you have cattle and veg and everything is fucking cycled properly, he goes, if you have that, the yields are low and you cannot feed the world on that. You cannot feed the world on organic farming, even if you take back the land from the fucking cows and all that sort of shit. And he says, then if you wipe out the animals completely and say you can't have the animals, we're all going to go vegan, which is unrealistic because the world's not going to go vegan.
Yeah.
He was saying, like, you kind of need, like, a balance, a natural balance. He says, but the way you do that, he says, he goes on from that chapter into GMO, he goes, the way to do it is the one thing that organic farms will not do. So it's just, if you combine organic farming with GMO seeds, he says, that's when he goes, also the pushback on GMOs is actually really detrimental, because whilst the world's pushing back on something that can potentially save it and solve the hunger issues, he said, corporate, massive global corporate cunts like Monsanto, which are owned by Bayer now, are putting patents on these seeds, and they're still working with GMOs. And he goes, they're going to own all the patents. And he goes, the longer we leave it and don't like let smaller people do it, he goes, you're going to have, like, the food industry is going to be like the pharmaceutical industry, where you've got, like, a few big players and they're going, like, to own all the seeds.
And if you own the people's food, you own
Bill Gates.
The world.
That's what he's doing now, Bill Gates.
Yeah. So he's buying up the whole farmland.
And he's in bed with Bayer, the World Health Organization. So again, it'll be those seeds, these GMO seeds are going to come in and they can revolutionize it. But again, it's all going to be to those fucking few small corporate powers.
Mate, we need to get off this planet.
All right, Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Let's go to the moon.
Yeah. It's definitely fertile there.
Oh, shit, man.
We fucking went off on a tangent.
Yeah.
Where were we before that?
Nowhere. Oh, dude, he's talking about... So, Costa, what do you do?
Well, and I've actually recently, you don't even know, I've shut down Paradox now. It's not a thing anymore.
You're done?
Yeah, done. Because now we've
What
am
I going to do with my t-shirts then?
I don't know. Nostalgia.
Yeah, I'll keep them.
Vintage. Get them on Depop.
Yeah, like, yeah. Have you seen it? It's like there was a guy that took a photo in Copenhagen, like a vintage store, of a Sainsbury's fucking t-shirt or something. It was like vintage, 30 quid.
Nice. Nice. So Parallax is dead?
Parallax is dead. It was just... the thing is, I've got two other companies.
So that was just you, Parallax, right?
Yeah, Parallax was just me. Yeah. Now, so my two new companies, Mako Media Limited and Sulis Digital Limited, with two people. It's me and Matthew Wedding on one of the others, on Sulis, which is more corporate focused.
So it's Matthew and Costa, Mako. That's where the Mako comes from. No,
Mako is from Mano and Costa, the different guy.
Ah.
Yeah, Manuel. But yeah, that's like Sulis is corporate and Mako is like creative. So this setup is like Mako.
Okay, cool. So Mako, you're with that, because you use this space as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So tell the people about what, because you're going to be doing a YouTube channel as well. Obviously,
yeah,
about
we are.
Bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But yours is going to be on
creativity.
Production.
It's just creativity focused as well. So like so we've got three different sections. I don't actually remember what they're called at the moment, but I'm pretty sure it's one of them's key, which is basically we like provide a key for unlocking doors.
Right.
So, for example, how to do things, how to do video, how to edit, how to color grade.
So, like evergreen videos, basically. Yeah. That's something you know, how do I light this room? Yeah. Something they can always go back to.
Exactly. And another one is going to be, it's called Vi. So, it's like versus. So, we, for example, get an example product, so like a shoe, you know? And myself and Manu, we film our own version of an advert. And then we compare the two.
Okay, like they do on like the gadget show where they get given a different product to do the same thing. Exactly. It's like iPhone versus fucking expensive ass camera.
Exactly. It'll be like final result, what we think of each other, why we did it differently, etc.
Right, okay.
Yeah, sick.
And the third one's going to be interviewing creatives. So we're going to get like local singers, artists, etc. And interview them. Kind of similar to what
you're doing. That'd be like a podcast type thing. And then the other two
but will... It'll also be involved though, because we'll get them to like do their thing. So, for example, one of my good friends, Ethan Porty, is a really good photographer. I've got some like black and white film from 1964, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like the thing's rusty, but it might still work. So, and I've got all the developers. So he's an expert in like shooting film. So we're gonna interview him and also like you know go out on a shoot and he'll tell people how to shoot with real film and try to get results, etc.
Yeah, that's cool.
So the how-to videos will be standalone. The versus videos will be standalone.
Yeah, it's basically three playlists.
And then the creative one won't just be you sat there talking to him. It'll be actually talking about it and
doing
clips, cutaways of the project you've done. Yeah, that's cool.
That's sick, man.
But we need to be fair, we haven't really done much with it at the moment just because we've been so busy.
Yeah.
It's been non-stop going to Bristol shooting for Old Vic, you know, stuff, and it's a long thing. Because I've been to like 20 different schools now.
Is it?
And every time you have to set up the lights, every time you have to set down the lights, and it's like for two interviews at a time. Sick. So it's like,
yeah, that's mad.
It's because it's like with this, the way that we do the show. So Costa edited like the first few batches for us, but with this, we don't edit these podcasts. So, and the reason I've done that is because it's to be as hands off. So the video, the three ideas that you're explaining to me are all heavy editing, labor intensive. Do you know what I mean? And the editing part of it is fucking so long.
That's why I'm happy that I'm working with someone else. Because, for example, Mano, he loves compiling the video. So he loves like cutting it, getting like the rhythm of it.
Yeah. So you both have your little fingers.
Yeah, he does
that.
Yeah, and I do the color grade. And he doesn't like doing the color grade. Yeah, so
it's a good team, man.
It's all good working by yourself, but like at one time it gets to a point where it's not. Like that's the thing. You kind of like, ugh, I just like, you know, it's a lot of effort. You know, you can't just sit there by yourself doing everything.
Nah,
you
get burned out. I got burnt out recently. Yeah. I've not been on Instagram a lot. Yeah. I'm posting like once a week pretty much at the moment. And that post is about the podcast.
Yeah.
I have been making a lot of music. Yeah. I've gone back to like, I was in this thing of where I was like, right, going to do a release this month, this month, this month. And it was so regimented and so robotic. Mm. It just took the fucking like,
fun out of it,
the
man.
Fun and the spark out of it. So what I've done, I'm like fucking really making some really cool stuff like the last sort of month or so. But it was just like going back and it's like, well, I don't need this amp by any date. I don't need this. And it's I will, once I've ramped it up, I think it's just like to put myself through a creative phase. I should probably start going back on Instagram and probably sharing a bit more what I'm doing whilst I'm doing it, just to so my Instagram just doesn't fall off a cliff somewhere.
But on Instagram, have you set your settings to so you don't see how many likes there are per post?
No.
Yeah, do it. Well, I've done it all on mine. And every single one of my posts, you can't see the likes on it anymore.
Can you not either? Can you not either?
No. You can't see any of my own likes. No one can see mine. I can't see anyone's. Which only is really you, good because like, it so you only get that competitive element.
So you only get the engagement.
Yeah. I don't see. I literally don't see.
Have you got a business account?
Yeah. You still get like. You still see how many people have like gone onto it. And stuff,
yes. You still get to. You still see your reach, interaction, percentages, and stuff.
Once you're scrolling through,
you just don't get the likes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's people like post sometimes on Instagram just to get the likes. You know.
Likes are shit. Like it's like.
That's why I love getting rid of it. Yeah. Competitive element, and people just post what they enjoy. You know. Yeah.
Anyone who is listening or watching this, and you've got friends who are creatives, not just your mate who's got an Instagram fucking account sharing pictures of like their family days out and stuff, but if you've got a creative who's your friend, musician, video, whatever, drop them a comment, even if it's some fucking fire emojis. If it's not fire emojis, it actually looks better if you give them a thoughtful comment, but it doesn't take long out of your time, just give them a comment. It does help fucking massively. It's
save
like
it.
Likes
we'll
don't
save it.
Yeah,
save it is actually the most like important one for Instagram.
Is it?
That's what like the algorithm likes the most. But saves. I hate working against the algorithm. It's just not enjoyable. It's like you get on the phone line to like call about an issue and you just get a robot and you're like, I just want to talk to a fucking person.
It is. It's like, again, sucks the fun out of it. It's like you want to, it's like you go down this thing, it's like now it's like I've almost like put this like fucking thing in my head where it's like I'm only doing this for the algorithm and I don't want to do that, and I've like almost got this like,
you're literally playing with a robot.
And I've got like this like rebellious sort of like ego thing going on in my head where it's like, fucking don't do that. It's fucking, do you mean just don't fucking do it. And it's but you need to kind of have that balance, isn't it? Life.
But yeah, I don't really like Instagram. I'm not really on it that much either. Like, I've completely deleted my personal, and I've done it like creativity based now.
Yeah,
I've done like, but I just haven't been bothered because I don't really see the point of it much.
Oh, it's annoying. I've just got TikTok.
Yeah, I've got.
I haven't posted it yet.
I don't look at it. Like,
I haven't posted yet. But like, people like have said like, look.
Get on it.
The engagement on TikTok is where it's at.
I know.
But then I spoke to people, and I think you fall in the trap of TikTok. So I know a couple of guys. They're in a band from Cardiff called Humans from Hydra, and Carl from Humans to Hydra. His son is autistic.
You know, we spoke about this in quite detail.
Did we?
Yeah, with Dad Bod.
Anyone who didn't watch Dad Bod, I'm gonna talk about TikTok again. But the so they're in the situation where it's. They're only doing autism videos, and it's like, how does that transfer over? Like, do you mean it's like, so I think as well, like, do shit on TikTok that you want people to be seeing. Just freestyle videos or something, I guess, for a rapper.
Over covers and shit.
Well, I've been tempted to, like, do it, like, you know, video production based, like, do little, like,
you should definitely be doing it, man. Definitely.
Like, do, like, them little, like, fucking 30 second like how to fucking color grade in 30 seconds for more like this, fucking head over to my YouTube channel where you can get like in-depth videos.
That's a good idea.
And then just like the little like, it's tough because like these, like I would like to cut more of out of these, and it's like just fucking going through because they're an hour long, and it's like sifting through it to be like which clips would look fucking
to start time coding stuff and just being like,
It's hard.
That was funny. Maybe I'll do it next. Whenever we laugh, like even if we don't remember what, obviously we'll just fucking mic down and then we laugh.
I'll just set the timer in it and then like, boom.
Yeah, 1 minute we laughed.
2 minute we laughed.
Where do we get to? So now that is, we've got to what you're doing now.
Sulis and Macro, really. Sick. Working a lot. Tiring. Yeah. But it's good. It's good, you know. It's starting good. Up business.
So the corporate one—that's what you're doing. the Bristol Old Vic thing through?
No, that's Macca.
Okay. That's Macca.
So the corporate one, we work with like solicitors.
Golf courses.
No, not even that. So it's mostly like we work with solicitors, real estate agents, companies, and recruitment companies.
Right.
What, for them to advertise or more for their training?
It's mostly LinkedIn based. So you know how you always get those LinkedIn, like, oh, I'm so amazing, etc. It's those kind of videos. So we focus on that. It's going pretty well, to be fair.
We're
going to sign up pretty big clients in. They've got like 85 employees or something.
Well, you go into that law world. So, I mean, it's like fucking a good solicitor is going to set you back a fucking...
Yeah.
Well, you speak to people like who go through divorces and shit.
It's a lot of money.
Their divorce. I
was doing a video for a client. It's one of my mum's Russian students.
Oh, you told me about this. Fuck you, man.
Basically, she's getting a divorce of her husband because he cheated on her. He got with his secretary and had a kid behind her back.
As you did.
That's not funny, by the way. It's not funny.
But like,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and basically she wants me... She's a lawyer, so she knows what she's doing. And like the question he's asking is like, you know, like to get her money, he's like, what have you done in this, like, these lockdowns? Have you been working? Have you been doing this? Because he wants to prove that she's not been doing anything.
Yeah.
But she's been, like, she owns, like, a few houses. She's been renovating them. She's genuinely been busy, but she needs to prove it. So as a joke, as a gag, but she knows she'll get away with it. She got me to create a fake book and, like, a fake commercial for, I forget, what was it called? It was Divorce and Tonic or something like that. And basically, she's doing this to, like, make a book to show that she's been doing some work or some sort. And I can't remember what the book's about, but I, like, designed a graphic design.
Divorce and Tonic.
Yeah, and then it's like a TV show mock that I did, where it's basically her taking a piss out of him.
Yeah.
And it's the best thing. And she's shown it in court to show that this is what she's been working on. And apparently they loved it. So
that's amazing.
Made like the people in court's day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, to me, like,
so fucking, like, boring. So like, all the time. Out.
Here we go.
Divorce and Tonic.
Yeah, that's great, man. I'd like to see it.
I can send it to you. You can overlay it if you want.
Yeah, sick. That'd be quite funny.
Insert here. Oh, no, I ain't got a timestamp on.
1 o'clock.
About half hour in, probably. 40 minutes, half hour. What time did it start?
I don't know. I was checking. I think it would start at 25 past, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was hilarious. And yeah, I got paid, so it's all good. But it was like, it's sometimes you get those projects and it's really weird. You're so used to doing like corporate stuff and all of a sudden you're doing a mock advert on some court case.
Yeah, that's funny, man.
It interesting.
Yeah, no, definitely, for sure. That's the thing about this line of work, it's not boring.
Mm-mm.
You get all sorts of characters and all that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like us.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think, you know, I think like the corporate world as well, so you look at like some of these fucking offices, I don't know whether it works or not, you know, like, they do like all like the wacky things, like put fucking AstroTurf all across the fucking floor and like
slides in the office.
Yeah, like slides and bowling alleys and shit, like go on your break, like get Google's like that, innit?
Yeah.
I was my friend, she'd done the... She did something there. She wasn't working for Google, but she was employed to do something.
Okay.
Subcontracted in to do something at Google. She said it's such a fucking surreal place. I mean, she said it's just like, so everything in there, she said it's like, did she say it was free or it was either free or it's like ridiculous, fucking heavily subsidized by the company. So you basically pay, like, you go to like the shops in there and like, so it is either free or it's like you pay fuck all for it, basically.
Yeah.
And she said it's like really surreal. It's like almost like this like happy place where it's like, it almost seems so surreal that it's not real. And it's like, there's like this hidden veil of like fucking evilness going on behind. It's like they're coaxing you in. She obviously said that was just the vibe she was getting from there. Yeah. Like, and everyone's just like,
and everyone's happy in that.
Yeah, hey. Yeah. And like,
I don't trust you guys.
Would you like some water? Not from here.
No, thank you.
What's in it? Yeah.
Google.
Yeah.
My God.
But yeah, it is. I think fucking like these companies like Google, it's like they know so much. Think how much. Think how much Bill Gates knows.
Yeah,
Windows, quite, right? Ever since your computer has been linked up to the internet and you've had Microsoft, right? They fucking know everything.
Xbox.
Anyone who's ever had anyone who's ever had a computer.
How many kills have you got on Call of Duty? They'll be like, oh, he's violent.
Yeah. What do you think about...
Potential risk there.
What do you think about the McAfee story? Because I haven't looked into it.
What, the antivirus.
Yeah.
I don't know what they've done.
He's bonkers. He's actually crazy.
Do you know what's happened with him?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Like, I don't know the story, but some mad shit went down. Like,
recently.
He's dead.
Right.
He's basically been like this, like, mad fugitive dude for like God knows how long. Like,
oh, is he the one who was in Cypher America?
I don't know.
They had a Netflix thing on him.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. But I need to look into it. I thought you would have known more about it. But
I am going
to
look into it.
Yeah, I need to write that down as well.
Yeah,
but
he died in the Spanish prison, didn't he?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. This is what I mean. It's all
he's
a bit
such
like
a mysterious guy, though, isn't
real,
it?
Like when you look into him and like what he's done and who he's rolled with, and it's all a bit mad.
Yeah,
it is a bit
real,
mad.
Almost.
There was a. So I was like, watching. It was Eric Weinstein and Lex Friedman. It was a clip
on
them,
talking
about Epstein.
Okay.
But I didn't really get what was going on. It was like fucking, they were like, but it was like, it seemed to me they were saying something on the lines of like, Epstein was sent in to Eric Weinstein to like try and get information on what he was working on from the government or some shit. And I was like, fucking,
wow.
I didn't really understand what was going on in the thing. I was like, whoa, it kind of like was a bit over my head a little bit. I need to say that's something else I'd also want to fucking look into. Like, what was it that.
Have you watched the video?
Eric Weinstein was working on that. They'd send him in for, and like how ingrained into the government or these companies was Epstein.
Yeah.
Have you seen them? There was a video. Or who's that? The Queen's son who like touched kids, or whatever.
Andrew.
Yeah. They did you see there was a video on YouTube where they broke. Did you see the video on YouTube where they broke down? Do you know he did that interview with like the lady from the BBC?
Who? Prince Andrew did?
Yeah. It was like the one where you could tell he's lying about so much.
Yeah.
They did like a breakdown of all of, it was like some experts in like body, what do you call it?
Body language.
Body language. Mm, they came in and they went over the entire video and they said they could, because the way he was sat, where he was crossed his legs, his leg was bouncing every time, because your leg bounces every time your heart beats slightly. So they could tell when his heart rate was elevated when they were asking questions, so he was stressed.
Because it's also, that is a clue as well, isn't it? Someone sits there like that and their arms cross, it's generally they're like
closing in.
It's like I'm fucking uncomfortable with what
Yeah, but they broke down like everything and it was insane. Like every question he was like looking like different directions. I don't even understand how they allowed it to like go like on,
put it out.
You know? As like, he didn't have everyone abandoned him. That's the thing. He didn't even have, usually you'd have like a watcher that would make sure that you don't sit in the wrong position so you can't tell everything, your body language, etc.
They do, don't they? They politicians actually go through courses like
That's why they're so fake.
Yeah,
because
they
like they never answer a question directly. You know?
What about Boris? What about Boris? He didn't. Man just goes in the fridge.
But yeah, that's. I think that's what the appeal to Trump was so much.
Yeah,
because he was just like fucking. He's just rogue. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was like everyone
said whatever
like,
he wanted.
Yeah, just like
Putin, mate.
Just you look at Hillary Clinton when she's like she tried to like tell him about his taxes. He's like, he doesn't pay his taxes. His response was into the microphone, was like, that's because I'm smart. What do you say to that? What do you say to that? So you're a cunt or something. So? What do you say? Do you mean, how do you debate someone who's not playing the rules of your debate?
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. That's why they didn't like him.
Do you know what I mean? And it's, I think that the trouble with Trump is like...
he needs a podcast, bruv.
Well, Rogan. Did you?
He needs to go on Joe Rogan. Mate.
Imagine him.
He wants him on.
Yeah.
He wants him on.
Glenn Greenwald. So he was the guy who created Interpol, right? And he was the one who broke the Edward Snowden case.
Okay.
And he was saying he had there was enough evidence on the Hunter Biden, like Biden's son's like laptop, to do with the laptop. There was like some big scam.
Ukraine, wasn't it?
Yeah. He said there was enough evidence in like him being the journalist of his level. He said, there's enough here for me to run something. And Interpol, a company that he helped create to basically give freedom of the press and freedom of the information. So I said, no, because it might harm the elections. And they wanted Trump out so badly that even then he was like, what the fuck is this company now? And he was like, you could hear him in the interview, like how angry he was getting of like, look, the news is being manipulated that much. That even people from his own party wanted Trump out so much.
Yeah.
That they were willing to manipulate it.
That's mad.
Like, yeah, it's fucked. It's like, where do you cross the line, really, isn't it? It's like, once the line's crossed, you don't really go back either.
Nah,
like,
never.
No.
It's like, do you mean it's like the whole thing of giving away things, like whether it's to your employer or whether it's to the government, where they say, like, do you mean, like, we're going to put this in temporarily as a temporary measure That ain't temporary. Do you know what I mean? That's going to stay. Do you mean you give that right away or whatever? It's like, good luck getting it back.
It's like it's gone. The protest act has gone through, isn't it?
Yeah, also the...
How a protest... it's so stupid. Like, you can't disturb anyone. Like, that's the definition of a protest.
Democracy's gone, bro.
Check this one. The one they're pushing for at the moment. So they're on the railway. They're having a big overhaul on the railway, and there's going to be like loads of job cuts and all this sort of shit. And like basically, like,
oh yeah, it's being taken over, isn't it? The whole rail. It's like government is like
they've taken in to foot the bill basically whilst everything was going on, and they obviously then got the passenger numbers back. So they're looking now. They've had this guy who's come in. He's basically said, "Hey, this is how we're going to save money on it." Yeah. And like, there's going to be talks going ahead. But if you look on the BBC the other day, I seen that the government have just put through a bill that it's illegal to strike for like companies like railways, which are a public thing, without a minimum service being run. And it's illegal for you to strike if the minimum service cannot be run. So what's the point of striking if you can't fucking do it? Yeah, so there's they basically removed the law of like, it's going through now.
Freedom of expression.
So it's like now they're basically saying like for workers' rights, like or whatever. It's like,
mate, we need to get out of this country, bruv.
Where'd you go?
I think other countries.
I want to go to Barbados, mate. The other day when I was at the beach, I was like, if I had quarter of the money that I had now, but I was surviving, and I had sun every day, and I had beach, would I be happier? Yes, I would be happier.
It's just like the key.
I need it, bro.
The money.
It's like my mum. You know, like I'm like, she's doing it because, like, I mean, why not? She works online. She teaches, you know, she teaches Russian. She earns that's like, what a amount. Why not do it from Italy?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, some beautiful place.
What I was about to say. It's like, be it if you, as long as you're able to, like, sort of, like, you've got some way of making money remotely. For example, we went to Sicily on a jiu-jitsu training camp. There was, the place we went, it was like remote Sicily, like no one there spoke English. It was like a small little village, beautiful place.
Rude.
But the there was one guy there. Was his name Steve? Fucking, I should remember his name. We were speaking to him for ages. He invited us in his house, giving us coffee and shit like that. I mean, but he like knew himself. But he was from New York. His missus was back in New York at the time, but they got this little place there, and he spends most of the time there. He had like this screen set up in this little apartment. He goes, got internet here, like he can work remotely from there. He lives there the easy life. He says rents his place out now, what he had in New York.
Yeah.
And just fucking
lives
the life. So
cheap. Lives in Sicily, which is where he was from, where his family's from.
Oh, really? The reason it's cheap is because there's obviously like no work, but the fact is with like globalization and everything, especially with COVID, you can work online.
Yeah, you can work online.
Yeah.
So easily.
Do you want to hear this complaint?
Oh, yeah, go on. But is this so? What is this? What was it for then?
So we had a complaint at the bar. Back in May.
Mad.
And
do you know who it was?
I know exactly who it was.
Oh, okay.
I'll read the whole thing.
Oh my god.
But we
who actually goes for the effort?
I know. But we only concentrated on two things that she said.
Okay.
Which wasn't anything to do with her complaint.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Absolutely terrible treatment by staff. The manager, I believe his name was blank, I'm not gonna say.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't me, right? Was totally obnoxious and cocky when being asked genuine questions. And another man, a short, mixed race guy, who I assumed was in management, as he was just stood around all night, not helping anyone or answer any queries. I've been to the Earl multiple times over the years and haven't generally had any issues. For a friend's birthday, we began to sing happy birthday and had security and a waitress pounce on us. And tell us we could not sing. When questioned why we could not sing happy birthday, they told us we have neighbours. I couldn't understand this. It's a pub / night venue. We still have neighbours.
Above,
around, all over the place. Anyway, we were then graced by the presence of blank, who was so rude when I was asking about this neighbour situation. He accused me of being sassy, microaggression central. Apparently asking questions is getting funny. In our party, we had two restaurant managers and other people working in hospitality and understand how much pressure it can be during busy periods, but it was totally disgusting and shocking. To go alongside the awful service, the ordering system needs to be looked at. Four of us tried to use it, and only one was successful, and you aren't able to order with staff as they refuse to take your order. That was it, basically. So the response was, the term mixed race is offensive to us.
Mixed race promotes a fascist, neo-colonialist ideology, whitewashing imperial history, while providing white privilege for the minority of individuals who fit the European prototype of beauty and acceptability. Additionally, by implying our hard-working manager was lazy and not helping people's queries, feels like you're pushing a narrative that people of colour are lazy. He had finished a 12-hour shift prior to your arrival and helped over 600 people that day. The manager you were referring to was 5'11", which is 1 inch above the 5'10" average in the UK, therefore also not short.
Oh my God. Was it your response?
That was my response to them, man.
Of course it was.
Didn't even focus on Chris being sassy. Oh, I said his name now.
Don't let me beep that out.
Beep. Yeah. Yeah, funny, man. Yeah, people get funny. But yeah, we've got neighbours and they complain.
All the time. I remember when I used to work there.
Jesus all the Christ. Time.
You have to run over to people.
The thing is, right, if you were there before, but as far as I can remember, there's always been a bar there. Because it was Bar Karango or fucking whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Oh, it's absolutely their problem for being
there. She didn't look. The woman that complains, but we now ignore her, she didn't research before she bought her flat, like Chris, when he was like, mate, when I bought my house, I wanted to live between two parks, so the kids could go and play in the parks easy,
you want good connection routes to schools,
she's just gone, man, bought a house, we paid for triple glazing in her yard. We bought her new windows. She still complains. Oh my God. So we now ignore her.
Is she one of those people that just wants to get money?
No, she just doesn't have anything to do.
How old is she?
She likes to complain.
I don't know, 40. But then she'll come down. She'll come down. And then she'll be sat there all night drinking, shouting with her mates.
And then go home and complain about herself.
Yeah.
Who's that noisy cat you had in there earlier?
Yeah, shout out that woman.
But it's
don't shout at that.
I used to be a window fitter. Yeah. And the thing is, like, those fucking thick ass glass windows, you cannot fucking hear fuck all through them. Because we did like a job where we worked away down Exeter for a week. Yeah. And it was fitting them on a new build development that was fucking like basically right on the railway track. And the glass was so fucking heavy. I remember it. Mm. And like that, you got that close, you can't hear fuck all.
Isn't it mad that you can get double glazed car windows now?
Can you?
Why?
Oh, sound. It's like you get a fancy cars like Rolls Royce or whatever. I suppose. Which is, I don't know why, but that concept to me is pretty mad.
Sound, like you say, I guess, if you want to sit in the back
it's
of a
like
Rolls.
It's like the air filters, isn't it? Like in like the fucking Teslas and stuff. This, it's like medical grade. Yeah. Air filters,
yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
It's just like
there's like cars like Rolls Royces. You know when they drive, like, they scan the road for bumps, and so they can see the bumps ahead of time, and then they adjust the suspension when they know there's gonna be a bump. So literally, you're like floating along.
That's so they don't spill their shampoos in the back of their car, isn't it? Like that's some madness. Because my dad said there's like it's like when you drive limos and that, you have to drive a certain way.
Yeah,
you can't like drive like we drive. You have to like. Prepare to stop. You can't just stop.
Yeah.
You got to be like...
Yeah, ahead of time. It's the same with, coach drivers. I'm pretty sure they're training. Like my brother works as a tour guide, coach. And he said the driver told him that they have to do a test where they have a cup of tea on the dashboard, and throughout the whole day they can't spill any of it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
If they
make
do,
sense.
Then they don't get the job.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, like you say, you got people in the back that are drinking and stuff. I mean, it's like...
Bus drivers clearly don't go through that fucking
Doing it on the bar. Yeah. Have you ever done it where you've like had your head like down like on a bus, you're tired or whatever,
and then he smacks
brake and goes, dude, you fucking cunt.
Yeah. Mate, try doing that on a bus in Barbados, mate.
What?
The buses in Barbados.
What are the roads like in Barbados?
Mental, bro.
Are they?
And
are
the buses drive at like 80 miles an hour.
Are they smooth or like raggedy?
Bumpy as fuck. And then like, so basically, it's a thing, like in Barbs, like you get on a bus, like it's like a touristy thing, yeah? So you get on a bus and you're like this, right? And it's like, more people get on the bus, push back. You get to the back of the bus and you're sat there like this, crushed, music, boom, soca just pumping, and they drive about 80 miles an hour.
Oh my God.
It's dangerous.
It's like Jordan, to be fair. In Jordan, I remember we got the taxi from the airport. I was driving in the middle of the road in the night, not giving a crap. Like, one carriageway, one carriageway, in the middle the whole way.
Yeah.
So I'm moving out of the way whenever it was calm, going right back to the middle.
That's mad.
Yeah. Egypt's pretty nuts.
I want to go to Egypt. Egypt's cool, man.
I think they're probably gagging for people to go there, to be fair.
Is it?
Because do you think how long Egypt had that tour? Was it the it was the Russian plane that got blew up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They had a terrorist attack on a Russian plane. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And since then, all tourism was blocked. Well, not all. Like, you could go to Dahab, but you couldn't go down into Sharm. And Sharm el-Sheikh is their main...
I want to go to Cairo, man.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't want to go to Cairo for 2 weeks.
No. I just want to go there for a couple of days.
So you can do it. When we went not long after the uprisings.
Right.
And we got a dirt cheap deal to Cairo from Sharm el-Sheikh. So we flew to Cairo and had a whole day's tour for £100 each.
Yeah, rude.
From Sharm el-Sheikh. Yeah, rude. All meals provided, everything.
Yeah, sick.
And a tour guide, but he was fucking safe as fuck as well. So we went there and, yeah. I mean, or you could do a cruise down there, because I would, do you mean?
Mm.
But it's nice. But yeah, because they had that terrorist attack.
Mm.
All the tourism was fucked from that.
So you need tourists.
And then now,
COVID.
With COVID, it's
what's the situation over there like?
Well, I seen a...
I've had my vaccine.
Have you?
Have you? I've had both of mine. How was it?
Fine.
You had the Pfizer one probably, no? Yeah, you were lucky.
Yeah, I was alright.
I had the worst time in the world.
I say I was alright. I'm okay so far. Mm-hmm. Everyone keeps going, see, you're fine. I was like, no, don't keep everyone I speak to. He's like, yeah, I had it, I'm fine. No, you're not yet.
Mm. I ain't had it.
No.
I've had the worst time.
Do you know why, though? The reason I ended up having it was because so many people around me started getting it. So when I got it, it kind of put me on my ass for a couple of days.
Mm.
It wasn't that bad, yeah? And most people that I knew that was getting it were kind of going through the same things. It wasn't that intense. It wasn't that difficult to deal with. Everyone who I know that's had it in the past month is fucked. Mm. Sean is fucked.
Mm.
One of my mates, remember Alex that used to run the bar?
No.
The black one?
No.
So basically, he had his first vaccine, caught it 2 weeks after, was fine, was asymptomatic, was walking around this is rubbish, I just want to go back to work, da 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 da. 2 days later, he woke up with a blood clot in his lung.
Fucking hell.
He said he was in the hospital for 4 days.
And
I'm like,
how can you tell if you have blood clot?
Well, he couldn't breathe. He woke up and he was
they have four British Airways pilots die because altitude blood clots.
Yeah.
But that was after the vaccine.
That wouldn't surprise me.
My friend who is, he lives here, but is from India.
Yeah.
I'm getting him to get me some ivermectin sent over.
Yeah, fair.
What's that?
That's the stuff to treat it.
It's the stuff to treat it, which is an 85% approval rate.
Yeah.
Which
they banned it. They banned it in America, didn't they? And it?
No, it's not banned. It's a parasite drug, but they're not giving it for that.
Didn't they find that in Japan ages ago?
Yeah, so it's found...
In the soil?
Yeah. That's the thing. Rainforests and soil is where most medicines are found.
That's mad.
And it's recreated, then obviously a chemical, highly intensified version. But that is where
that's
you find it.
Widely used for
parasites.
Parasites and
yeah.
All over Africa. It's really it's not dangerous at all, that stuff, is it?
It's it's been around since the 80s. There's no patent on it. It's less than a dollar to make.
That's why they don't want people using it.
It's less than a dollar to make. So this is what Brett Weinstein's pushing a lot at the moment.
That's why I heard it.
He went on Joe Rogan with the guy who was the frontline COVID care thing. Yeah,
watched that one.
Do you mean the dudes the evidence? There's clearly evidence there, and the thing within Argentina, for example. In Argentina, they gave 50% of frontline COVID workers ivermectin.
Mm.
The other 50%, they didn't give any. None of the 50% that they gave ivermectin on a regular basis as a precautionary measure had it. Not one got it. The other 50%. It was a high percentage of it, which I don't know and I don't want to say because I don't know the answer to it.
But it was high.
But the 50% who didn't had it in some way, shape or form. Yeah.
That's
majority
mad,
of them.
Bro.
So how was Egypt with it then?
Don't know. I mean, again, it's how many people are traveling in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then back in October last year, I seen in the travel agents, it was they had a deal in the window. It was about £100, I think it was. Was it £100? £170 per person 1 week, all inclusive, 5-star Egypt, flights included. And I went in and I said to the lady, I said, have I got a quarantine when I come back from that? I said, yeah, 2 weeks.
Can't do it.
That's what I mean. If you've got the
jabs, they're getting rid of that, aren't they?
They've already done it, yeah.
They've done it.
Yeah, it's done.
You can go to yellow.
You can go to amber list countries now if you've had the both jabs,
right,
and you don't have to quarantine when you come
in. The bullshit is most of them don't take the NHS app thing. You have to have a like letter stating it. So like people who've gone to like Spain, they haven't got the letter to prove it. That you have an app.
Oh no, this is for coming back.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
This is when you get back. Because on an ambulance country, you'd have to quarantine when you got there, and then you'd have to quarantine when you got back. Yeah. What the double jab does is when you get back to the UK, you show your NHS thing, you don't have to quarantine when you get home.
Yeah, no, what I'm
you
saying,
probably still have to quarantine when you go there.
No, not like in Spain, you don't if you've got both jabs. Right, but that's the thing, you have to. Right. You can't show your phone evidence, you have to have a letter. So that all these tools went. Like you get the NHS app and you put in the details.
I've got fucking NHS app, man.
And you put in the details and it comes up with the fact that you've had 2 vaccines.
Yeah.
Because they said to me when I went up there, because she was like, have you got any concerns? I was like, yeah. She was like, what are your concerns? I was like, you're going to put a chip in me. She was like, do you believe that? I was like, no. She was like, what are your concerns? Who have you been watching? I was like, Brett Weinstein. And the guy that was on there, the virologist and immunologist that was talking about, he was like, yeah, the vaccine's great. He was like, the vaccine's good. He was like, however, it's too late. There's too many variants.
Mm.
He was like, so what's going to happen? He's like, worst case scenario, it's going to start jumping into children. He was like, we're giving the virus more opportunity to mutate by using this vaccine on everyone.
Yeah.
He was like, it's dangerous. He was like, it is dangerous. And then he started speaking about ivermectin.
Yeah.
He started speaking about that. And I started speaking to her about that. And she was like, I'm not going to lie to you. Just kind of true. She was like, that's why I was like, is that why already they're talking about doing the booster jab for the vulnerable in the winter? And she was like, yeah. She was like, there's just going to be carry on a roll of vaccines.
It's just the saddest thing about it is it's money. It's all money.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean? It's like these companies do not give a fuck about. No. The consequences, they put profits over everything.
And Zenith was not as bad, though. They didn't make a profit off it. They sold it at cross price, actually.
They sold it to AstraZeneca. Oxford wanted to put it out, patent-free, open source. Mm. Bill Gates convinced them to sell it to AstraZeneca, which is a private company.
Mm.
So it is private.
See.
So, but no, you're right. The intentions were there by Oxford University. But,
as well, I read the other day that America, Germany, and England refused to share the patents or the ingredients with other countries who are struggling.
Yeah.
They won't do it.
So Bill Gates on the interview.
Even though I heard his name going over and over again, this is a world group effort.
Yeah.
This is a group thing.
Well, when Bill Gates was quizzed on Sky News or wherever it was about why he convinced Oxford to...
Oh, it's been 1 hour 4 already. Cool.
Let me finish what I'm saying here and then we'll fucking wrap it up. He basically said the reason, right, that they wanted to make it go private and not open source is because places like India, which is one of the world's biggest vaccine producers for everything,
medicine
producers in general, he said, it would not be safe to let it out in open hands where we'd want it in factories that know what they're doing, like here, i.e. Johnson & Johnson, which that week was closed down for unsafe measures. Like, I mean, it's just like, but that was his response that he gave to the news reporter. It's like, it's not, mate, stop lying, say, just let us know. It's profits. It's profits. Mm. And that's the trouble with these companies.
So, Costa, your personal meaning of life to end.
Personal meaning of life. I don't know. The thing is, I wouldn't say it's to be happy because a lot of people search for happiness and never find it.
Okay.
It's to be content.
Yeah. Okay.
Content with life. That's.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be happy with where you're at, but at the same time, obviously, look forward to growing yourself.
Mm.
But
it's like this very stoicistic. Is that right? Stoicism. Just like that.
And
they say learn to love what you already have.
Yeah.
Don't learn to want things you don't have.
Yeah. Because, I mean, people, you know, always they think they know what they want. They want money. They want to be rich. But then they get to that point and they're like, oh, shit, I'm still not happy.
I need power. I need weird stuff.
But money's a tool. Money's a tool which can help you if you've already got your meaning and shit down, I think. isn't it? Basically.
Safe. Bless up.
Lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for watching. Like and subscribe.
Smash that bell button.
Boom, boom, boom.
Safe.